following message is from New Life Gillette's kickoff weekend service. Pastor Mike presents the message this week.
Well, good morning. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison. Welcome. And to those of you here in the room, I need to tell you something. I believe that God loves you. At New Life, we talk a lot about God's love. In fact, we end every single service with a phrase in which we take that statement, God loves you, to an almost controversial extreme. When we say, Jesus loves you unconditionally. Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life. That's the message. That's the foundation. That's for us the beginning and the ending point. Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life. And so my whole life, I've grown up hearing this phrase, God loves you. You've heard this phrase. It's in songs that you know. It's on billboards. God loves you. Have you noticed, though, it's a little bit more difficult to then change the pronoun to a personal pronoun? God loves me. When's the last time you said that? God loves me. You don't have to say it out loud like braggadociously, but God loves me. And it's more difficult for me to say that because I know my background. I know the things I've done. I know the mistakes I've made, the things I've said, the thoughts I've had. I know how insignificant I feel. I know me. And so it's harder for me to say God loves me. Really? Does he? How positive am I of that? I preached a wedding this summer, and after the wedding, it was one of those weddings where the couple was a Christian, were Christians, and so I felt like I could go like all gospel message with this wedding, you know? And so I compared the love of a bride and a groom to the love of God and his church, and I was talking about how Jesus died on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven, that you could be reconciled with him, that you could be reunited with him. And man, I felt like I brought it, you know? It was one of those where it moved from teaching to preaching a little bit. And I felt good about this message. And I walk off the stage while we were got married in a park. So I walked back behind the chairs. And while I was walking back there, a guy was walking toward me. And he had that look on his eyes like, oh man, it's about to happen. This guy is about to give his life to the Lord. He just got the message and he's on fire. And he's going to walk up to me and he's going to say, I want that. I want to be saved. I want the love of God and all this. And he was going to break down and cry. That's what was going to happen. I just knew it, predicted it in my mind. So he's walking up to me. First words out of his mouth. That was a great message, Pastor. What religion are you? Okay, do you mean like what denomination? No, like Muslim or Christian? So let me be real clear here. If you hear a guy talking about the love of Jesus and how his love can reunite you with your heavenly Father, you are hearing a guy talking about the Christian faith. Because it is the foundation. God's love for us is the foundation of the Christian faith. If we don't get that right, then we haven't gotten much right at all. In fact, if you ever hear me saying that God doesn't love you and I'm a Christian, I am a liar. If you ever hear anyone saying that they are a Christian and they are also saying that God loves you, they are a liar. Because that is the definition of Christian. As Christians, we are followers of Christ, whose most distinct attribute was his love that was unconditional. And as a result of this foundation that Christianity is built upon, I sing a song to my son every single night. My son is a two-year-old named Lincoln. And every night I sing, can you guess what song I sing to him every night? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. My son likes to go, strong. Why do I sing this with my son every night? I sing this with my son every night because that's where we got to start with this foundation. You've got to know this first. And why does God love us unconditionally? God loves us unconditionally because we are his children. So as I hold my son in my arms and we sing, God loves us, I'm hoping my son will catch the picture of how much God loves him through the way I love my son. Because family love is different than conditional love. It goes deeper, similar to the way Joseph's love went deeper for his brothers.
So what are the ways we know that God is a loving God? Are the stories of God interacting with his people? And those stories are all throughout history. There's Noah, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
And Joseph.
Oh, I wasn't quite there yet.
No, you were there. Why don't we tell the story of Joseph?
Oh, okay, but it's going to be a short one because there is not a lot we know about Joseph before he married Mary. So he was a carpenter, which to us would be
No, the other Joseph.
There's another Joseph?
Yeah, in the Old Testament.
There's another Testament?
Let's just do the story of Joseph because it's a great analogy of God's love for his people.
I don't know, Mike didn't give us much time, and that's kind of a long story.
That's all right, we can get it done.
Okay, well, here we go. So, there was this guy named Jacob. He had 12 sons. His favorite son, and he told everybody this, his favorite son was Joseph.
Yeah, and Jacob loved Joseph so much, he got him this amazing coat.
Amazing coat.
Yes,
an amazing coat. Yeah, let's not candy coat it too much. He made his son a rainbow coat. Now, can you imagine giving your son a rainbow coat?
Hey, son.
Oh, hey, Dad. How are you?
I got you a coat. Look at this coat.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Do you like it?
Hey, Dad. How's the limp?
It's good. It's good. Did you know you're my favorite?
Yeah, I know you're my favorite. I'm your favorite too.
Yes,
you're my favorite. Good. But Dad, I think this was for Mom.
No, look, it's for you. It's rainbow colored. I mean, I couldn't just pick one color.
Well, actually, you could have. You could have picked one color.
Mom, put it on. Let me see it.
Well,
let me see it.
Dad, it's kind of hot out here. We're in the desert. A lot of heat. Don't really need a coat.
Come on, you're my favorite. Put it on. Let me see it.
Okay.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. What do you think?
Well, I think I feel like a Care Bear threw up all over me.
You always were the most funny one of my sons.
Ha! Thanks, Dad.
Hey, quick question. Do your brothers know that you're my favorite?
Oh, yeah. I think that is understood.
I'll tell them anyways. He's my favorite. He is. Joseph is.
And he was. I mean, Joseph wasn't shy about telling his brothers that he was the favorite.
And eventually, the brothers got so angry that they had a how to get rid of Joseph meeting with everyone present except for Joseph.
All right. The meeting of how to get rid of Joseph with everyone present except for Joseph will now come to order. Guys, why are you talking in a weird accent?
Because everybody in the Bible talks in weird accent.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
So, how do we get rid of our brother Joseph?
Of course, none of the brothers show up except for Zebulon, the creepy one. He's only mad because he used to be the youngest brother and Joseph took that from him. Dan didn't show up. Well, because nobody knows about Dan. I bet you didn't. And Gad's mad because Joseph can't remember his name. So me and Zebulon, stuck in a room, spitballing.
All right, Zebulon, what do you think?
Now's my chance. Joseph is the worst. I can't stand him. Never had, never will. When he was in fifth grade, he got an iPhone. I had to wait until I was in 10th grade. He's Dad's favorite son. He thinks he knows everything. Well, I don't know. If your name's not Google, you don't know everything.
How about we blow him up with a bazooka? Okay, that's not gonna work. We need to make it look like an accident. What if we sell him into slavery?
Boring.
With Lowe's code. Okay, rip it up.
Yeah.
Tell Dad he's dead.
Ha 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 ha! I love it, I'll get the blood!
And that's what they did. They sold him into slavery. They told his dad he was dead. Poof! All the brothers thought, that's the last we'll be seeing of that dreamer.
So Joseph was sold into slavery, and they thought that was the end of him. But actually, the gig he got was pretty good. See, he was working for a guy named Potiphar, and everything was going good until Potiphar's wife entered the scene.
Oh, Joseph. Joseph, how are you today?
Hello, Mrs. Potiphar's wife.
Oh, Joseph, you are a red hot chili pepper. Did anyone ever tell you that?
No. I don't understand what you mean.
Oh, Joseph, you are beautiful. You are so beautiful, it's true. Joseph, I saw your face in a crowded place. Now, I don't know what to do. Oh, Joseph, I am so in love with you.
Miss Potiphar, wife, are you trying to get me to do something I shouldn't do?
Is it working?
Not so much.
Joseph, it's either me or jail.
Yeah, I choose jail.
And he did. He went to prison. He went to prison at a time when Pharaoh was having dreams. Dreams that bothered him deeply. Dreams about cows and corn, and nobody could tell him what they meant. But Joseph was brought out of prison, and with God's help, he interpreted those dreams. Pharaoh was so impressed by this and so at peace with the answers he got that Joseph found himself second in command of Egypt. And he was second in command during 7 years of greatness, 7 years of bountiful harvest, 7 years of prosper. And he was also in command during 7 years of famine, famine around the world that was so bad that Joseph's brothers had to travel to Egypt and talk to the king of Egypt to beg for food in order to survive. Can you imagine his brothers when they found out the person they were talking to was Joseph? This was the brother they beat up and sold into slavery.
So we're sitting there in front of Joseph, and the one thing that I keep thinking is, man, I'm glad it was Dan that threw him in the hole.
When I found out it was Joseph, I knew he was going to pay me back for the time I gave him a wedgie when we were growing up.
I replaced the filling in his Oreos with toothpaste.
I put glue in his belly button when he was sleeping.
We sent love letters from him to all the girls in his class.
I posted pictures of him picking his nose on Instagram.
But he didn't get mad at us at all. He even invited us to come live with him.
After all we did to him, he forgave us.
It really makes me want to be better in the future. Now,
just to let you guys know, it's not good to put toothpaste on Oreos. It does not taste good. And Richard, you as a girl, scary. Can you imagine what the brothers were thinking as they stood in front of Joseph? To summarize the story, Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers, and then he gets thrown into prison, and then he makes friends with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh makes him in charge of all of Egypt, and then the brothers have to go beg this guy from Egypt for some food, and then the guy from Egypt turns out to be their brother. What are they thinking as they're standing there in front of their brother who they had sold into slavery? Let's read on in the story. We read it in the book of Genesis in the Bible, chapter 45. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept." This reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son where this kid goes to his dad and says, "Dad, I want all my money that I'm going to get when you die." And he goes off and he spends it and does all the things that his dad taught him not to do. And then when he runs out of money and his life is terrible, he goes back to his dad. And he says, Dad, I screwed up. And what do you think his dad does? Does his dad reject him because of all the bad things he had done? No, his dad welcomed him back with open arms and said, I love you, son. I love you unconditionally. I love you even though you've done all these things that I told you not to do. Verse 2. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, Joseph, and the Egyptians could hear Joseph. And word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They couldn't believe who was standing before them. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer. And he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. I know you sold me into slavery, brothers, but I love you unconditionally. I love you anyway. Why do I love you? Because you are my flesh and blood. Verse 5. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourself for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your life. Joseph forgave his brothers because they were his blood. They were his family. And his love for them was not dependent upon their actions, the things that they had done in order to deserve that love. This is the way our relationship with God works. God forgives us not because we were good enough to deserve his love. God forgives us because we are his children. He loves us unconditionally. I am a child of God, and he loves me. I am a child of God, and he loves me. Not I, Mike Wilson, am a child because I'm a pastor. I, whoever you are, say this. I am a child of God, and he loves me. I am a child of God, and he loves me. The most famous verse in the Bible is what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It's easy for us to say that. This is one of those you statements. It's just kind of cliche things we say. For God so loved everybody, right? God is love. But what happens when we replace this word world with our name? For God so loved Randy. For God so loved Brian or Karen or Tammy or Sarah. For God so loved me that he allowed his son to die. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Like God loves you so much that while you were still sinning, while you were still rebelling against him, he died on a cross so that you could be reunited with him, your heavenly Father. It's not dependent on your actions. I've been a father now for 2.5 years. I've been a dad, thanks to Lincoln. And Lincoln, he's the one I was talking to you about. I sing to every single night. What has Lincoln done in his life that has made me love him? Do I love my son unconditionally because he's really good at lining up his cars on the floor? No. Do I love my son because he's really good at naming the colors or the letters of the alphabet? No. What has my son done to earn my love? Nothing. He just had to be my son. That's it. That was the first step and the final step. Love. It's unconditional. It doesn't matter. I'm not loving my son because of what he has done. You know, we tried for 8 years, a little over 8 years, to have a child. And that were tough years. We had over a dozen, not we, Darcy had about over a dozen surgeries and procedures, and we went through all this junk with miscarriages and false hope and just an annoying, frustrating period of life were those 8 years. And I sometimes wrestle with, why was I struggling so much to have this child that I didn't even know yet? Why did I love him so much before he was even born? It's because God created us for this love. My son was the fulfillment of God, of God's creation for me to love a child. It happens even before they're born. We love unconditionally. Great news. We're going to get that chance again. Yeah. But there are people in this room, in a room this size, that have a hard time believing that God loves them unconditionally. And it's not until you recognize that God created you so that he could love you unconditionally that you are able to grasp his love for you. And God didn't just love you enough to create you and love you. God loved you enough to send his only son so that he would die, so that you could be reunited with your heavenly father. So there was this chasm between you and God that could not be filled any other way other than God's son dying so that you could be reunited with your heavenly father. If you have not been reunited, all you got to do is say yes. Run back home to him like the prodigal son ran back to his dad. Run to God and say, yes, I'll accept your love. I know you're my father and I'll follow you. I realize what you say is right and I'll follow you. This is what we call people to. This is the foundation. It's like a really elementary baseline, bottom line message here, but this is what we're all about. We are Christians, which means we are all about God's love. That's what we do. If you haven't been reunited with your Heavenly Father, I beg of you to do it. You were handed a response card when you came in. Would you put your information on there and let us know that you made a commitment to follow Christ today? Would you please let us know that you're ready to take that step? Because we want to send you some information and give you some information about some next steps that you can take after the service. If you want, there'll be people up here who'll pray with you and talk to you about the commitment that you can make to follow Christ with your life. But there's nothing more important than that. It all starts there. It's the baseline. It's the most important thing in this life. God, today, I pray that those people in this room who need to be reunited with you will have the courage to take the step out of their comfort zone to become reunited with their one true Father. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.